Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that in most settings, people fully vaccinated against COVID-19 don't have to wear masks, including indoors. After the announcement, President Biden called it a great day for America and encouraged those who haven't yet been vaccinated to get a shot. So far, about 39% of Wisconsinites are fully vaccinated and 45% have gotten at least one dose. Also this week, 12 to 15-year-olds became eligible for one of the vaccines. Wisconsin started administering shots to that age group yesterday. We're catching up on the latest COVID-19 news now with a medical expert, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions or thoughts about when and where it's still a good idea to wear masks? Are you concerned about mask wearing kind of switching to an honor system? Have they been vaccinated or not? You don't know. If you're the parent of someone in the 12 to 15-year-old age group, are you planning on a vaccination? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. John Ohoro is an infectious disease specialist at Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. He also works at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He's a graduate of the UW-Madison and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Ohoro, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, it feels like a pretty big deal, this announcement from the CDC. What was your reaction to that announcement?
So it was a little bit surprising how quickly this came up for us, since this is something that we've been expecting some de-escalation to happen relatively soon as vaccination rates have been going up, but we have not yet reached that herd immunity threshold that you've probably heard an awful lot about, talked about in the news and other settings. The reasoning behind it is very sound, saying that those who are vaccinated are at exceedingly low risk of having a severe infection, and the risk of transmission appears to be very reduced among those who are vaccinated, so providing some increased ability to go about unmasked for those who have been vaccinated is appropriate, but it's something that is going to have to be taken on a case-by-case basis, looking at a number of different settings. In particular, the notice made it clear that we are looking at this not applying to healthcare settings, so you'll likely be asked to wear a mask when going to hospitals or clinics, which makes sense given the increased risk of the patient population being seen there relative to the general public. Likewise, some municipalities may continue mask mandates, and that will be guided by local vaccination and local trends of cases, and that may also be a very reasonable thing to implement based on local activity.
Some of the most common concerns I've heard raised, sometimes from virologists, sometimes just from everyday folks, is, hold on, I've got kids under 12 who can't be vaccinated, or some people concerned about people with who are immunocompromised. I don't know, how much do you worry about those groups that can't be fully vaccinated, or even if they are, they might be still a little higher risk than everybody else?
That is a concern, and that's something that people are going to have to consider as they approach this over the next couple of months, as we see vaccinations continue to increase and case counts continue to decrease. I'm in that boat myself with a child who's ineligible for vaccination, and that's something that I'm going to be having to weigh the pros and cons of specific interactions. But for most people, the main takeaway from this should be if you haven't gotten your vaccine, it's a very good time to go out and consider getting one.
Yeah, that one of the arguments I've seen for this announcement, which, as you say, I think took some people by surprise, was that it was going to be a motivator to get people to get the vaccine and enjoy the full benefits of this CDC announcement. Too soon to tell, I'm sure, numbers wise. But are you hopeful that is something that might happen?
Well, I'm hopeful that we'll see our vaccination rates continue to increase. As you said at the beginning of this segment, Wisconsin's approaching the halfway mark for the population getting at least one dose and is in the top half of states in the country that are going with this vaccine rollout. And anything that hurries that along is going to be very welcome news.
We heard from Dawn in Madison, who couldn't stay on the line. Dawn says, if you can go maskless if you have the vaccine, how do we know that others who are going maskless have actually been vaccinated? And I want to give a listen, actually, to CDC Director Rochelle Walensky talking on CBS yesterday about that sort of honor system and personal choice. Here's a listen.
If you are unvaccinated, then you have made the decision to take that risk. And we are really encouraging people who are unvaccinated not to take the risk. People who are unvaccinated should not be taking off their masks. And we're really encouraging them to get vaccinated as soon as possible. But if you have several people in the room and some are vaccinated and some are not, and they've all chosen to take off their masks, it's the vaccinated people who will be protected.
So a lot of messaging there for the still unvaccinated to keep wearing those masks. How important is that, Dr. Ohoro?
Well, that's going to be very important for their own safety, but also for the safety of others. Something that has been true since the very beginning is one of the main reasons to wear masks is to protect others from the potential for spread. And while it is true that vaccinated individuals are at drastically decreased risk for a severe infection, there's a difference between drastically decreased and a zero risk. So unvaccinated persons continuing to wear masks is a behavior that I hope we will continue to see.
We are talking about some of the latest COVID-19 news, new guidance from the CDC, and a new group of people eligible now for vaccines. Dr. John Ohoro is with us from Mayo Clinic. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about the new CDC guidelines, your thoughts on it. And for the younger people, the 12 to 15-year-olds in your household, and maybe even the 16 to 18-year-olds, have you gotten them shots? Are you making appointments right now? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Ohoro, let's turn to that news now. One of the vaccines approved for youth 12 to 15 years old. Can you talk about how we ended up in that decision and what it means?
Yeah, so the FDA was recently given data on the trial for that age group. And most trials, when we start looking at making these vaccines available for younger age groups, start at the closest to adulthood and go progressively younger and evaluate different doses and so forth. The 12 to 15 data was very promising, with no cases seen in those who were vaccinated. On paper, that's 100% efficacy, but in actuality, nothing is 100%. But that still indicates that it's highly, highly efficacious as it is in adults. And the side effect profile was really quite similar to what's been seen in adults, with the exception of a little bit of an increased risk of some fainting after vaccination, which is something that's always seen in that age group anyway. That seems to be a risk of vaccination as opposed to something specific to the COVID vaccine.
And how quickly will we be able to ramp this up? I know we're hitting that magical point now where we've got enough supply, I think, for the demand out there. Does that mean it'll be pretty easy to make this transition and add this new cohort into vaccination eligibility?
That should be the case in most areas. We're exiting the phase where we're really guided by our limits of supply and entering a phase where we're limited more by vaccine uptake and vaccine acceptance. So that's a big part of what I'm sure drove this decision, was that our vaccine rates were starting to plateau nationwide a little bit, and looking at what can we do to try to push more people to opt into vaccine now that the supply is plentiful.
Another part of the whole story here has been this race against COVID variants that may spread more quickly or may be more hazardous or possibly both. We're seeing that as a part of the story in countries like India right now. What are your thoughts right now on our rate of vaccination versus our fear of these faster spreading variants?
So all of the variants that are common at this point are still counteracted by the vaccine. Some of them have slightly decreased efficacy, but they're still broadly very, very effective. And a rapid enough rollout of vaccine is really our best defense against these variants causing more trouble than they currently are. We are seeing a trend towards younger people getting sicker, but by and large, these are younger, unvaccinated people. So this goes back to the general message of if you haven't been vaccinated, this is a good time to reevaluate.
We're talking to Dr. John Ohoro, infectious disease specialist with the Mayo Clinic Health System, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 news, new guidance from the CDC for fully vaccinated people, saying life is a lot closer to normal for you now, reducing the number of situations where they recommend mask wearing, and now one of the vaccines approved for 12 to 15-year-olds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this new guidance from the CDC? Is it going to change the way you behave? Do you worry about an honor system for mask wearing, what it'll mean for the pandemic? Do you have kids in that 12 to 15 age group? Are you making appointments? Maybe right now. Call 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions related to COVID-19 and the latest news. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Dr. John Ohoro, infectious disease expert with the Mayo Clinic Health System, looking at new mask guidance from the CDC and expanded vaccine eligibility. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi, I'm fully vaccinated, and I was just wondering, well, if I go out without a mask into a store and I inhale some SARS-CoV-2, which I think is the virus, then I go to another store, might I be exhaling some what could be a full viral load to somebody?
Dennis, thanks for the call, Dr. Ohoro. Without actually, getting the virus and kind of incubating it ourselves, can we sort of pick it up as a hitchhiker and bring it into different settings?
So it appears that is much, much less likely with those who are vaccinated. We know if you're vaccinated, you're less likely to have severe disease, and there's a lot of evidence suggesting you're less likely to have asymptomatic infection, which we would think is a prerequisite for being transmissible. It doesn't reduce that risk to zero, and that's where there is still some uncertainty in why masks have been requested and required to date and still will be in some areas like healthcare facilities for a while longer. But the overall risk seems low. Moreover, if the other people around you are vaccinated, their risk of getting an infection from you is also very low. So this goes back to the need for people to go out and get vaccinated.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Lee now in Madison. Lee, hello.
Hi. I'm a middle school teacher, and this week was great. I got to see my first students come back, and they came back with the I'm vaccinated stickers on. They're wearing them with pride, and it was great to see, and I've been thanking them because for the last year, I feel like, teachers in general have been doing everything they could to provide for them, and now they're doing something to help safeguard us, and just happy to see that. That's all.
And Lee, I want to ask, paint us a picture of what a classroom looks like in person now with those middle school kids, masks and distancing. I don't know, what's going on?
Oh, it's, we have, I'm in the Madison School Districts, so we have, at any given time in a room, half of the students are there, half of them are virtual. They are going to be wearing masks, they're going to be 6 feet apart, and I'm teaching in front of a camera and in front of a group of kids and having to kind of juggle that. And I also teach shop. So having to try to illustrate a whole bunch of hands-on activities and computer programming and things like that. There's a lot of, okay, if you're on this step, ready for the next step, give me a one in the chat. Now give me a two in the chat. breaking things down a whole lot into a lot of steps. But having the kids back has been wonderful. I'm able to reach kids I wasn't able to reach before, and the kids are just overwhelmingly excited to be back.
Lee, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us. Dr. Ohoro, your thoughts for how we're handling COVID safety in the classroom for, in this case, that middle school age where a lot of the kids could start being vaccinated. I'm assuming most of them not there yet, though, obviously.
Yeah, I think that story highlights a few things. One thing is it is wonderful to hear that they're kids are proudly getting vaccinated and going out and doing that for all the reasons I was mentioned. But another one is that it does take 2 weeks after your second dose, if you're on a two shot, or 2 weeks after your first shot before you're considered fully vaccinated. So some of those measures, including masking, still have to be in place, even if you are vaccinated and enough time hasn't lapsed yet. Another one is hearing all the measures that they've put in place within the school district to maintain safety. We're going to see needing masks in some of these settings a little bit longer because, as I mentioned at the outset, this came as a little bit of a surprise to many areas, and deciding where and how to roll back restrictions now that it's allowed is going to take time for officials to work through safely. The CDC is trying to provide guidance for the country as a whole, and we're a big country with a lot of variation, so it's going to take a lot of specific local guidance to work through that, and that's going to require the patience of the general public.
Thanks for that call, Lee, at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Dr. John Ohoro from Mayo Clinic Health System. He's an infectious disease specialist there, looking at the latest COVID-19 news, including a new updated CDC guidelines on mask wearing for vaccinated people, a lot fewer situations where they suggest masks for people who are fully vaccinated, and now vaccines, one of them available for 12 to 15-year-olds. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to and questions about the latest COVID news. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Saul is with us in Stevens Point. Saul, hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wonder why the state can't provide certification of vaccination. We already have official records of our COVID vaccinations on the state website, and there seems to be a Republican effort around the country to prevent any certification of vaccination. We do it for other vaccines. I just don't understand what's going on here and how they can let it happen.
Can I ask where you would want to see a need for that? I mean, I know we need to approve certain vaccines for travel to certain places, for example. Where would you want to see something like that used?
Yeah, it's so obvious. I mean, the airlines want to have some way of knowing what their passenger load looks like. And other people that, you know, like in the healthcare industry may require it, but they have to have some kind of formal certification that it was done. And
Saul,
the little
thanks.
Card that you get is not secure at all.
Gotcha. Saul, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. John Ohoro, I think critics of that kind of idea call it a vaccine passport, but that idea of in certain situations you can present proof of vaccination. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, so this particular vaccine is a little bit more complicated when we look at that, and I'm not an expert on all of the legal aspects of that kind of a decision and what that would entail, but one of the biggest complications is the fact that this is a vaccine under a emergency use authorization rather than a true approval like the vaccines that we're used to. And even though it has been very thoroughly tested and the process for evaluating side effects and efficacy has been very open, the fact that this has gone along so quickly does make a number of people uneasy. And that's something that we do have to be sensitive to because those individuals who are hesitant for those reasons are the ones who are, in my mind, the most likely to eventually get vaccinated and the ones who I want to convince that it's appropriate to vaccinate. And it's important we remember that they have reasons for being concerned about this that go by, that are related to the fact that this just did not go through the normal process, even though I will tell you that I am very impressed with the thoroughness of the process it went through and the amount of red tape that was cut to allow the science to advance and get us a very effective and very safe vaccine in the short timeline that these companies managed.
Saul, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Andrew next in Waukesha. Andrew, hi.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. So my question has to do with the science, the effectiveness of natural immunology versus the vaccines. I had COVID back in August. I donated blood. I was tested. I have the antibodies. But none of these guidances from the health departments or the CDC mention people who have the antibodies. So I wanted to know what the science was behind people who had the antibodies and the effectiveness of the vaccine versus natural immunology.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Dr. Ohoro, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the guidance is even if you've had it, and as Andrew does, you've had the antibodies, they're still suggesting the vaccine. Do I have that right?
That's correct. And there was some conflicting guidance about this earlier on, and I'll explain a little bit of where that came from. Originally, there was some discussion about those who had a recent infection and whether or not they really needed to be at the front of the line for the vaccines back in December when we were having more issues with vaccine supply. The thought was that most people who have been infected are unlikely to become infected in the next 45 to 90 days, and thus the urgency wasn't so great. However, what we've been seeing since then is that those who are immunized seem to be at a lower risk for reinfection, and the vaccine-induced immunity lasts longer. Some of this probably relates to aspects of the immune system that go beyond just antibodies, and the vaccine may be more effective in getting an immune response out of some of the non-antibody portions of that. But that still is being studied why that mechanism is. But in short, the reasons why that was originally said had nothing to do with safety or efficacy and everything to do with supply. And now that the supply is resolved, recommendation would be to get a vaccine and that you would get better immunity from that vaccine than you would from a natural infection.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute, Dr. Ohoro, what are you watching for next when it comes to COVID-19?
So the things I continue to keep an eye on are the vaccine rates. As I mentioned earlier, I'm concerned about some of the plateaus I'm seeing in some areas and hope to see those come through, as well as keeping an eye on the variant strains as they spread. It continues to be a bit of a race between the variants and the vaccination, and although vaccines have a edge up at the moment, it's not a runaway at this point, and I hope to see our vaccine rates continue to outpace the variant spread.
And for those people who are, you know, on the fence or just waiting for that convenient moment, I guess, to get a vaccine, what would you say to them now?
I would say that the moment to sign up to get a vaccine really is now. With this shift in here, there is really no choice if you want to protect yourself between you have to either choose to continue to mask for a prolonged period or you have to get this vaccine, given that the general public is going to see less masking in the near future.
Dr. Ohoro, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. John Ohoro is an infectious disease specialist with Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse and at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He talked with us today about the CDC's new guidance on masks and what it's still going to take to hopefully move past the pandemic, and again, hopefully sooner than later. You can still share your thoughts. Are you still going to wear masks, even if you're vaccinated? If so, where and when? Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org.